Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. There's a chorus that we sang last week, and I just want to kind of go over a couple of the words to that chorus again this week as we go into the message. And those words were, "Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Just like a river in the desert, flow through me. Reaching out a healing stream, love's living water so pure and clean. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me." This week, as I've been out driving and be by myself in the car, these words just kept coming to my mind, and I would begin to sing them as I was going wherever I was headed toward. And that should be our prayer, that the Holy Spirit would begin to flow through us. And like it says, like a river in the desert. And can you imagine what a difference it makes where there's a river in the desert? The desert is a barren place primarily. There's not a lot there except a lot of sand and dirt. Maybe some sagebrush and some types of shrubs that don't need a lot of water. And it can be a desolate place. But yet when you have some water that flows through that area, or even if you get a rainstorm, you can see a difference in the life that's in that desert. And even though we may be going through a desert time in our life, when the Holy Spirit begins to flow through us, it begins to refresh us, it begins to lift us up, it begins to help us to know that God still loves us and cares about us. And yes, even as Christians, and I don't care how long you've been a Christian, there are times in our life that we go through deserts. We go through places that it seems like there's no life left. But the Holy Spirit can flow through us, can lift us up, can refresh us. Just like in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1, and here the children of Israel, Moses is leading them to the promised land, and they're out in that great desert that stands between Egypt and the place that God is leading them to in the promised land. And they're wandering in this desert, and they're finding this desert place, and they become thirsty, and they begin to complain. And it says here, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the wilderness of Sin by their journeys at the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink." Now that word wilderness can be translated desert. They were in a desert place. There was no water for them to drink. And just think about it. How would you feel if you were out someplace and all of a sudden you realized, hey, there's no water here. Now you can go a while without food. And even in the desert, there's things you can scrounge up to eat. You might not think about wanting to eat them sometimes, but you could. But water, it's essential. If you don't have that water that you get into your body begins to dry up, the cells begin to dry up, it begins to affect your brain finally, and essentially you end up almost going crazy if not, simply because there is no water. They're crying out, "There's no water, there's no water." I can almost see some of them running around waving their arms and their hands. "There's no water, there's no water." Moses in verse 4 cried out unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do for this people? For they're about ready to stone me. Moses, you brought us out here. There's no water." Some of them, "Man, get rid of him. I'm going to stone him." You know? And I can imagine, Mac, if I'd been in Moses' spot, I'd been a little concerned too. You know? "Lord, they're about ready to kill me." Verse 6, "Behold, I will stand here before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite on the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in sight of the elders of Israel. Bible tells us, as God spoke to him, he said, "Take your rod That same rod you used back in Egypt, that same rod you carried with you all this time, that same rod you held out when we crossed the Red Sea, when you strike that rock, water is going to come forth. It's going to pour forth like a river in the desert. It is going to feed the needs of this people. And their need was met. When it seemed like they were at the deepest, darkest point of their lives right then. And let's face it, we go through dark points and we think that's the darkest point in our life. And we go on down the road maybe a few years and we come to another situation and all of a sudden that can become the darkest point in our life. Those things happen. But here they're thinking we're at the deepest, darkest point of our life. When God sends down and water flows from that rock and begins to feed their needs that they have there in the desert. And just as the Israelites physically needed flowing water to refresh and sustain themselves, we need the flow of the Holy Spirit to refresh and strengthen our spirit. We don't necessarily have to go and have God strike a rock for us that we can get physical water out of it because we've got access to water. We've got access here as Christians in America to a lot of things that Christians in other parts of the world don't have access to. God has blessed us, but we still have a need of the Holy Spirit flowing through our life. The church as a whole, and when I speak of the church again, I remind you, the church is not the building. The church is the people, and the people need the flowing of the Holy Spirit. Spirit in their midst. Sometimes I think the church has got too much of the wrong things flowing through it today. One of the things that I pray, and I pray it almost daily, and I hope you pray this too, is Father, help me to be the person you want me to be. Not what I want to be, not what somebody else wants me to be, but what God wants me to be. I've got news for you. You can't go wrong if you're being what God wants you to be. You cannot go wrong. Oh, you might not make friends, and you might not get rich, and you might not have a lot of other things happen, but when you are being what God wants you to be, that is the best thing that can happen to you. And for that to happen, the Holy Spirit must flow through us. Now in the Old Testament, or as some call it, the Old Covenant, there were many instances of the Holy Spirit, which is called in Hebrew the Ruach HaKodesh, which literally translates Spirit of the Holy One. Spirit of the Holy One. And in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 11, he's speaking back of Moses, and he says, "Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them out of the land of the, or out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? And where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him?" We think a lot of times in church, because we read about in the book of Acts the outpouring of the Holy Spirit there on the day of Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit was manifest all throughout the Bible. The Holy Spirit was manifest from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Malachi, all the way to every last part of the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit is manifested, and we find it not only, like I said, in Genesis, but we find Isaiah writing about it here, where God's Holy Spirit was within him. God's Holy Spirit can manifest in a lot of different ways. If we read in Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, recognizes this in Daniel, because it says here in chapter 4, verse 8, "Till at the last Daniel came before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, which hath the spirit of the holy gods in him. And before him I told the dream, saying." Now, this is not the only spot in the book of Daniel where the king says that this Daniel, this Belteshazzar, he has the spirit of the Holy One in him. You know, they had their soothsayers, they had their priests, they had their astrologers, their magi, all of this. And we find as you read that particular book of Daniel that he had called them on occasion and they couldn't interpret things, but then they realized that Daniel had a spirit within him that the rest didn't have. He had the spirit of the living God. He had God's Holy Spirit being manifested in him. So God's Spirit was manifested there. In Isaiah 61, chapter 61, verse 1, it says here, "And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Therefore hath the Lord anointed me. He hath sent me to preach the good tidings unto the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach liberty to the captives, and to them that are bound the opening of the prison." Isaiah is prophesying of what Jesus is going to be doing here as well. But he's also saying, "The Spirit of God is upon me." And as you read in these various things, when these men stood up and prophesied, the Spirit of God came upon them. Who was that? It was the Holy Spirit that came upon them. Came upon them and enabled them to do things that wasn't normally possible to do in many cases. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 20, it says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord? Surely you shall not prosper, because you have forsaken the Lord. He also hath forsaken you." But it says here in the very first words, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon him. And he was able to give forth this prophecy. Now, I know I'm going to have to put something in here that's not even in my notes. But right now, there's a lot of people sometimes may stand up in church and they want to tell you, God spoke to me to tell you this. And a lot of times you got to watch out what's going on, because it's not always God's Holy Spirit that's coming upon them to tell you that. I've had preachers stand up and say, God told me to tell you this. And not one of those things has ever come to pass. But when the Spirit of God is upon them and they begin to speak, then the Bible tells us that our spirit will bear witness, and we will know within us what is being spoken to us is the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit moved upon various ones at various times, but we need to make sure it is God's Spirit or the Holy Spirit. We are warned against other spirits. And right now, actually going on in the world today, there are some who now claim to be possessed by the spirit of an angel named Emma. Now, first of all, you go back and look in the Bible, and you can't find any angel named Emma in there to start with. In fact, you don't find any angels in there with a feminine name. The Bible tells us that basically the angels don't necessarily have to be women. I know we always picture angels, and you see the pictures around here, it's always a female. But the Bible always talks about them being male. And another thing the Bible doesn't talk about is the angels wanting to possess somebody. Now, the only thing I read in the Bible of somebody wanting to possess somebody was an evil spirit. And it says the evil spirits wanted to possess. They possessed various people. Remember the man that was in the tombs, and the evil spirits possessed him. And when Jesus commanded them to come out, please don't do this. Give us someplace else to go. And they were allowed to go into the swine. I got news: the pigs had more sense than a lot of people, because they went and ran off the cliff, drowned themselves. They weren't going to put up with it. But this is the thing that's going around now. I'm possessed by the spirit of the angel Emma. Better watch out when somebody starts to say something like that. There's no such biblical backing for such a thing. And there's no place in the Bible, as I said, where angels sought to possess somebody. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." And the devil will come around sometimes, and he, you know, we always have these pictures of the devil and of some of his associates with the horns, the forked tail, cloven feet. And we always expect, you know, well, if the devil comes around, we're going to know him because that's what he looks like. But that's not what the Bible says. Says he'll be like an angel of light. He's going to be somebody that is appealing to us. He's going to look good to us. Going to make us, by looks alone, wanting to have something to do with him. So he says he's transformed himself into an angel of light. You know, the devil's good at preaching half-truths. And in a lot of false doctrine that's out there, there is that element of truth that's in it. That's what hooks people, because there is an element of truth. You say, well, yeah, I know that part's true. And then as you get into it, well, maybe this is true too, you know. And that's where we got to watch it sometimes, because the devil knows the word. He's been around a long time. He knows it. Galatians 1:8 says, but though that we are an angel from heaven preaching to you otherwise than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If it's not in the book, if it's not in God's word, you better watch out. Oh yes, there's books out there that help us to understand God's word, that help us and helps us to seek the knowledge that we're looking for. But if it does not line up with God's written word, the Bible, then you better watch out. And let's face it, there's a lot of doctrine being preached today that doesn't really line up with God's word. And I'm going to make a statement. I don't think it's going to offend anybody that's in this congregation today, but some people listening to me by other means might get offended by it. But if that spirit wants you to bark like a dog or act like an animal or something like that, then it's not the Spirit of God. And I was reading somewhere the other day of this same one who is quote-unquote possessed by the angel Emma, that the people run around barking like dogs. And some of you remember several years ago, 10, 15 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, there was a whole group of people that they were having this great move, and I forgot what it was called, but people barked like dogs, and they ran around and acted like animals sometimes. That is not the Spirit of the living God. God would never have his children bark like an animal or act like an animal. So it's not the Spirit of God, because he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Barking like a dog is not in order, not even decently. Jesus made his disciples a promise, and he said this in John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, which I have told you. He said, look, he told his disciples, look, I am not physically going to continue to dwell here with you. There is a time that's coming that I have to go back to my Father. But I'm going to ask him to send you a comforter. And the Greek word that's used there can also be translated advocate, intercessor, or counselor. I'm going to send someone that will help you out. That's the Holy Spirit. He went on to say in chapter 1 of verse 8 of the book of Acts, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost when he shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He's saying not only is he going to give you wisdom, he is going to give you power when he comes upon you. You know, there's a lot of times, did you ever get in a situation where you needed to know something, especially when it was something about the Bible or something about God as you're witnessing to somebody, and all of a sudden the thought comes into your mind that you couldn't think about, but all of a sudden right then you are aware of it and you know about it, because God can enlighten you and he can put the words into your mouth to speak and help you to speak what needs to be spoken at that time. That's what he's talking about there. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to not only be a comforter to us, but a counselor, an intercessor, an advocate, one who's going to stand in our defense. chapter 2, verse 4 of the book of Acts, it goes on to say, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And I don't want it to sound anybody like I am preaching against or not in favor of speaking in tongues, because I very much am. But I know that for a while it seemed like the Pentecostal movement was just so wrapped up in the speaking in tongues part, we didn't fully understand and we didn't fully appreciate what all the fullness of being filled with the Holy Ghost meant and the power that it gave us. And what it allowed us to do. God is using us, and He can use us, especially when His Holy Spirit is working through you and you are doing what God wants you to do. You are letting His Spirit flow through you. I know sometimes we get in situations and we kind of, get angry. Anybody here ever get angry? I think we're going to have an altar call then, so. But you get angry sometimes, and sometimes you feel like doing some things and saying some things that you shouldn't do. But if we let the Holy Spirit begin to flow through us, He'll help us to control that and to quell that. And sometimes we just need to have His presence flow through us and let come out of us what the Holy Spirit would put in us to say instead of what we want to say. Sometimes we feel like giving a person a piece of our mind, and quite frankly, most of us don't have a piece to spare, When it really comes down to it, and you say, "Oh, that's offensive, I don't have enough mind to spare." Sometimes we need to keep every bit of our mind that we've got to ourselves and quit sharing it so much. But when we let the Holy Spirit flow through us and we let Him speak through us, then the proper words will go out. It will work out things that need to be worked out. We need the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need it now more than we ever had it before. We're living in a day and an age when we need that moving of God. We need that flow. And God has blessed His people in the last 100 years, especially, maybe a little bit more than that. But God has poured out a blessing upon not only Christians here in America, but He's poured a spiritual blessing out upon Christians around the world as they begin to flow through Him. And that's quite interesting. Sometimes we find, and we have always thought about, well, we're American Christians. And I just throw that American in there to say this is where the part of the world we're living in. We're Christians from America, and it's up to us to go out and evangelize the world, when sometimes I think the rest of the world's looking around and saying, hey, maybe we need to go evangelize America. Ever think about that? There's a move of God in some of these other places in the world because they are letting the Holy Spirit flow through them. And I think today the church in America is letting some of the other spirits that are out there flow through them. Is it going to make us the most popular people on planet Earth when we let the Holy Spirit flow through us? Absolutely not. He never said anywhere in His Word that being a Christian or letting the Holy Spirit flow through us was going to make us popular, except with God. And that's the one we're here to please anyway. We are here to please God, not man. And if we please God, then everything's going to work out okay for us. If we please man, then things might not be so good down the line. Holy Spirit, flow through me. That should be our prayer every day. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Because if the Holy Spirit flows through you, then you are going to be that man, that woman, that child that God wants you to be when the Holy Spirit flows through you. Father, I thank You today for Your word. I thank You that You love us so much that You didn't leave us without a comforter, and that You sent the Holy Spirit to dwell with us, to flow through us, to indwell in us. and that we can feel His presence in our life and His influence, Father, in our life. And I just pray, Father, that You would help us to yield to the Holy Spirit. And Father, I know that today there are many spirits wandering around out there that are trying to influence people and cause them, Father, to do things that they shouldn't do. And sometimes they come and in Your name even. But Father, help us to be aware, Father, and to be enlightened, Father, that only the Holy Spirit, Father, should be flowing through us. Father, if there's anyone that's listening to this message that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart right now. Help them to realize, Father, that only through You, Father, is their salvation. Only through the blood of Jesus, Father, is their salvation. There is no salvation under any other name. And I pray, Father, that they would ask Him into their heart today. I give You praise for it now, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.